the more I grew in my relationship with Christ, the more He peeled my shame away and showed me that my identity is in Him and not the consequence of my sin. He made me redeemed and has allowed me to live in freedom through His forgiveness.
Welcome to the Storytellers Live podcast, where everyday women share stories of hope found in Jesus. I'm Robin, and I am here with Lindy and Katie, and we are your podcast hosts. Today, we are bringing you really an incredible story from Lauren.
I know, I also love it when our storytellers are a little bit on the younger side, which Lauren is. I first of all just want to thank Lauren for allowing storytellers to be the place where she shared her story to unlock any chains of shame that she had from her past. Her story is about an unplanned pregnancy, but it really is so much more than that. It's truly a story of that God sees you. He comes alongside of you. He sends miracles your way every day so that you know that He's there. And so I just think we have to open our eyes to His presence. And I think Lauren's story will help you see that.
Our Patreon community is in for a treat today, guys. We are doing a community spotlight with Tupelo. The women in Tupelo, that community team has been so strong, such gracious volunteers, and we are so thankful for them. So join us over on Patreon. You can click the link in the show notes, or you can go to our website at storytellerslive.org. Here's Lauren.
I'm Lauren, obviously, and I'm married to my sweet husband of almost 6 years in March, and we have two beautiful babies. And getting to the point of sharing my story has been a journey for sure, but I'm excited to finally share it today. And I read this guided prayer this morning, and I just thought it was so fitting for today, so I just wanted to start with it. But it says, God, I love you. You're worthy of all my praise, honor, and adoration. You heal the broken, and you bind up the wounds of hurting people. Your light casts out darkness, and nothing can overcome your power. You are good, and your mercy continues forever. Today, I want to focus on who you are and thank you for all that you've helped me overcome. In Jesus' name. Okay, so I was raised by amazing parents who are here today. Who embody Christ, and they've always shown His love and grace to my brothers and I. I grew up in church. I was baptized as a young child, and I was always surrounded by a community of believers. I don't remember a time in my life that I did not know who God was. Unfortunately, as I grew from a child into a teenager, I pushed what I knew about Jesus to the back burner, and I did not foster my relationship with Him. I followed my own selfish desires and what the world said was fun and satisfying. Those worldly desires turned to sin, and the more I lived in my sin, the more I turned my back on God and my family and my friends and my community. This lifestyle quickly turned into a dark depression, shame, and resulted in a young girl with zero self-worth. I had completely broken my family and pushed away some good friends. I was crippled in my sin and shame, and I saw no future for myself. But God, like a shepherd, left the 99 to find His lost sheep. Through this season of my sin and depression, God was behind the scenes, orchestrating a way to lead me back to Him by way of a mentor who's here today. I did not know all these details till many years later, but God had specifically spoken to her and told her to join a local tennis group. She thought this was crazy, but sure enough, a tennis court is where she would meet my mom, and that's exactly where God was leading her. She had also just finished a season of teaching and was praying for someone to mentor. She knew nothing about my mom or me, yet took out a step of faith that changed the course of my life forever, and she asked if she could begin a Bible study with me. My mom told her, sure, but she'll probably say no. Something inside of me decided not to turn her down when she asked. And I now know that was the Holy Spirit beginning to move in me. We began to study James on faith, and although I spent many weeks just showing up and going right on about my life, God's word was taking root in my heart and mind and was preparing me for what was to come. I continued on to meet with her once a week. However, I continued on with my selfish, sinful life outside of Bible study. And it wasn't long before all this came crashing down when I found myself possibly facing an unplanned pregnancy. Disappointment in myself. Shame, rock bottom, fear. Those are just a few emotions that I felt. I knew my friends would not accept me anymore. I knew this would break my family. Yet it was almost a feeling of relief. I was ready to get away from my old life. God was not so gently stripping me from my life that was only a path of death and destruction. And He was preparing me to bring me back to a life to Him and to a life of life and peace. I wish I could go and whisper into that young, terrified girl's ear and tell her that this was not the end and that she was going to be amazed at how God would turn this around. But I did not and probably would not have believed that at the time. I knew my life was over, so I decided to just go on and ignore the possibility for a little longer. I didn't want to face the truth, so for the next 20 weeks, I hid, which now I know, after having two babies, that that's a long time in the pregnancy. I just kept it to myself. I drifted further into loneliness, and I just tried to go on with my life and do what was good. I was ready to turn away from my old life. I went to school, I came home, I continued meeting for my Bible studies, began mending broken family relationships, and began stepping further and further away from my old life. Through those long 20 weeks, the Lord was changing my heart, but I was not ready to face the reality of what was to come, and I was crippled by my fear and shame. I was still meeting with my mentor during this time, and our Bible study was on knowing your worth in Christ. I was learning who He said I was. I began seeking Him and asked for forgiveness for my old sinful life. I was so new in my faith that I was worried I would want to turn back to my old desires and sinful life, and I didn't even know how to pray. I was desperate for somewhere to turn and told God I was just ready to be near to Him. I wanted to live life for Him, but I did not know how, and I would at least pretend and keep trying. But He saw through my desperation. He saw it was genuine, and He was ready to welcome His lost sheep home. The unplanned pregnancy was becoming more and more of a reality that I had to face. I could no longer hide. But I had just got my life back together, and I just turned back to God. How could this be? Why did He not just take it away when I decided to turn my life around? Terrified does not even begin to cover it. Again, I wish I could tell that depressed, lost, no self-worth girl, if only you knew what God was going to do. It's a miracle the girl I was just a couple of short months before beginning that Bible study would have easily made the decision to take that baby's life or even her own. But God had so sweetly already begun a work in me of renewing my heart and mind that I miraculously chose to turn to Him and chose life. It was time to tell my family. I had to face reality, and again, I was crippled by fear. I had already begun to change. Relationships were restored. Would this be a huge step backwards for us? I rehearsed what to say a million times, but God knew my worries, and He even cared for this small detail of my story. One morning, I was taking a shower, and I just knew that had to be the day to tell Him. I was praying and crying and on the verge of throwing up. I was drying my hair, trying to work up the courage to go downstairs and talk to my mom. Before I even left the room, she came upstairs and she looked me in the eyes and she said, "I know." And she hugged me and she said, "God's got us." And in that moment, I had no other choice but to believe it. She then told my dad, and he was so gracious. And they showed me nothing but love and support and grace. After finally confirming the pregnancy, my mom and I were outside by the pool, just trying to escape the heaviness. We began a conversation about what the next steps would be. Before we could even make a plan, church bells began to play Amazing Grace, clear as day, as if the bells were right there in our backyard. The entire song played. We sat and wept in that moment, right there in the presence of Jesus. In that moment, I knew He had a plan for me and this baby. And if you're wondering, there's one small church a few miles down the road, and they have no church bells. We asked. This moment was a huge turning point for me. After the bells, with faith truly as small as mustard seed, honestly, probably smaller, I proceeded to walk blindly down this path He had hand laid out for me to walk. And I would not even have that faith if it had not been for my mentor, being obedient to the Lord, letting Him use her to change the course of my life forever. And throughout the remainder of my pregnancy, He mapped out every location, every conversation, every encounter. His hand was intertwined in every single detail. I knew I was not ready to be a mom, and I knew this baby deserved a better life than I could give, but I didn't know a thing about adoption. I was so young and naive, so at the time, I didn't think anyone would want a baby from someone who made a mistake like I did and from such an ugly situation. If you know my mom, you know she lives to be a grandmother, and my parents are the ultimate grandparents, so they're now 4 grandbabies. I didn't know at the time, but my mom longed for this baby. But God had already handpicked a mom and dad for the baby. One night, my mom was awoken from a deep sleep and clearly heard God say that this baby did not belong to her, and told her by name whose baby this child was. She was confused because she didn't know anyone by those names, so she just wrote them down in the middle of the night and tucked it away. Around that same time, the Lord was placing adoption more and more in my heart. When filling in some family members that I was planning to pursue adoption for this baby, they told us about their friends who had been through an 11-year infertility journey, failed adoption after adoption, and countless foster children. You'll never guess their names. the same names that were written down in the middle of the night in my mom's journal. When meeting the couple in their home, they showed us a closet they had full of gender-specific clothes. And the mom also had a gender-specific name that she believed the Lord was calling her to name her child. While I'd still not been to the doctor, we didn't know the gender of this baby. But it was so evident that this couple were to be this baby's parents. The Lord was so gracious to me and my family to keep this pregnancy very private at the time. He spared me from shame and opinions of the world and gave me space to grow in confidence that I was who He said I was. Family members took me in and gave me a safe place to stay away from my hometown once I began to show. Next came my first doctor's appointment, and I did not sleep for days leading up to it. My parents had to help me out of the car. I was shaking, pale as a ghost, and physically could not make myself go in from fear of judgment and shame. I could not be the young, unmarried, pregnant girl in that waiting room that everyone would stare at. When I went in with my parents, the clinic was empty. There was not a soul in the waiting room. And I went straight back. And that's God's hand. The doctor came in the room, introduced herself, and sat me down and grabbed me by the shoulders, looked me in the eyes, and said, "My mom had me at 17, and I'm not a mistake." And there's the Lord's hand again. He led me hundreds of miles away from home for me to be put under the care of a specific doctor. He knew I needed to hear those words in that specific moment and knew she was going to take me under her wing and show me His love, grace, and kindness along the way. I then was sent to ultrasound where we discovered that I was 28 weeks along in the gender. The adoptive mom's name and closet full of clothes matched the gender of this baby. And the ultrasound just further confirmed that this baby was written in the palm of God's hand. Leaving home and my family for the last 10 weeks of my pregnancy was not an easy task. But once again, God placed intricate details in my path to make it a bit easier. My grandmother also has a story of an unplanned pregnancy and adoption. And when she found out I was leaving home, she said she was coming to stay with me the remainder of my pregnancy, and she would not take no for an answer. When I was 9, I witnessed that grandmother be reunited with her daughter that she had given up for adoption. The Lord knew that all those years later, we would both need each other through this time. That memory and her presence brought me comfort and hope and healing. Helping me walk through a similar situation as her own has also brought her healing. As we were pulling out of the driveway to leave home for several months, my mentor drove up with a book. The book was about a woman's story of an unplanned pregnancy, adoption, and God's grace. I read the entire book on the drive and was filled with so much hope. Those 10 weeks away were not easy. They were long, hard days, but I can only describe them that they were filled with such peace, and that was a peace that passes all understanding. The days were long. They were hard. We went on lots of walks. We did lots of puzzles. I was sad. I just wanted to come home and be with my family. The adopted mom communicated with me and encouraged me. I wrote letters to the baby, and I learned to journal. I spent time reading scripture on my own for the first time and seeking God, and I began my own relationship with Him. My family members took turns visiting me. My dad, my mom, my aunts, and my cousins. My doctor would take me out to eat. She would encourage me. I felt so much love and support through this time. I went to church with my family members in their small town, and I was very much surprised to be welcomed and loved and not judged. So many people in this small town saw me from the outside, a young, unmarried, pregnant girl, but chose to accept me, encourage me, and love me. And I so clearly saw through them how Jesus loves me. It became close to time to deliver the baby. And as you can imagine, as a young girl, I was terrified, not knowing what was to come. My mom had made it out to stay with me for the remainder of my pregnancy just a few days before my due date. I began having contractions one night, so we drove in to the hospital and informed the adoptive parents. They hopped in their car and drove all night. The baby wasn't quite ready, so the doctor sent me home. I was sad, but it ended up being such a blessing. The next morning, I was able to meet the adoptive dad for the first time. They were able to feel the baby move inside my belly, and we're all able to have a couple of hours to pray and talk together. I was still having contractions the next morning, and I had a doctor's appointment. So after she checked me, she said it was go time and sent me to get our bags and head to the hospital. I was so nervous. Once again, I needed help getting out of the car. I was so scared. But God placed several specific doctors and nurses at this hospital, hundreds of miles away from home, that He knew I would need during my hospital stay. My anesthesiologist allowed my family to stay in the room during my epidural, which I now know from having my own babies is not allowed. And then he asked to pray over me before leaving the room. We had several complications during labor, but ended with a smooth, healthy delivery. My doctor from the clinic was so calming, and my nurse was another blessing that God had handpicked for me. My parents were at my head, holding my hands as I delivered the baby. And when the doctor held the baby up, I cried because I did not know that I would love this baby. I sent the baby straight to be with the adoptive parents, and they were able to spend the night at the hospital, but so graciously let my family and I have time with the baby the next day. All of my family members had their time, and then I had some time alone with the baby to pray and tell them what a life God had picked for them to live and that I would see them again one day. And I'm so thankful I had that time. It was very emotional and hard when they wheeled the baby out of the room. I was going home soon, and I had no clue what my future looked like. My mom and I were left in the room after the whirlwind of the last couple of days, and we could do nothing but cry. My doctor came in to discharge me, and she decided to sit down and tell us more of her story. Her mom had her as a young girl, and she was forced to marry the father, and she knew her whole life, and she felt like a burden on every single birthday. But she has grown to see that she is not a mistake and confident in who God has made her. After my doctor left, my nurse came in to also share her story with me of her own unplanned pregnancy and how she found the Lord through it. She told me to keep moving forward, trusting God, and that He would provide. Once again, God placed these two special women who shared similar stories in my path hundreds of miles away from home. They gave me such hope, and I'll never forget their words and their kindness. Coming back home and back to normal life was an adjustment. The next several years were a huge time of growth for me. I have learned truly who God says I am and not to live in shame in my story. The Lord was so sweet in allowing me to live my story in private away from my hometown. And because of that, I was able to have a sweet season of learning who I was in Christ with freedom from no one defining me by my mistakes. The more I grew in my relationship with Christ, the more He peeled my shame away and showed me that my identity is in Him and not the consequence of my sin. He named me redeemed and has allowed me to live in freedom through His forgiveness. I have met like-minded friends along the way that I've been able to share my story with. I met my husband and we moved back home. We had our first baby almost 10 years to the day of my first baby. While we were planning, praying about beginning to start our family, the Lord gave me the verse from Joel. He said that He would restore the years the locusts had eaten, that you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord who has dealt wonderfully with you. And now we have two beautiful babies and an amazing community and church. The Lord has taught me that my story is a story of His beautiful grace and redemption and not one of shame. The more I understood this, the stronger the tug on my heart to share my story has become. God has sent me so many people with compassion who shared their stories throughout my story that led me to living in forgiveness. And my prayer is that He would use me in the same way through sharing my story.
We were sitting here talking before recording this, just talking about shame, and what an incredible story this is of how God has led Lauren out of shame, out of her past, and something that she could have held on to so tightly and given her incredible freedom.
Light, as we know, casts out darkness, and just allowing people to hear and know casts that light into the story. And that's really where that freedom actually comes.
Yes. And her saying, I am not defined by my mistakes. I mean, the Lord just worked on her identity mm-hmm. and just removed that shame. And, you know, that's just a message for all of us. No matter what your past is, no matter if you think that you are too far away from God, that He could never love you, you are not defined by your mistakes. There were so many miracles in this story. And I loved how her mom said, God's got us.
Yes, yes.
God's got us.
You know, Linda, you talking about the miracles, you guys know me. I literally started to count them. So I'm going to just remind y'all of all these miracles and tell me which one spoke to you the most. But I was thinking, first of all, the mom playing tennis. Remember, she wasn't even going to go play tennis.
Yes.
The tennis partner who asked to mentor Lauren, that Lauren actually said yes to be mentored to. The Bible study was mm-hmm. knowing your worth in Christ. And then the broken bells.
The bells.
Was a big one. The bells playing Amazing Grace. The dream of the adoptive parents' names that her mother had, the doctor whose mom had her at the age of 17, the church that welcomed her in that community with open arms, the nurse who spoke to her after she had the baby. I mean, y'all, God was in so many details. And just, I mean, He is a God of little miracles every day that we just, I think me, I don't open up my eyes enough to see them. But gosh, when I heard her story, I was like, wow, that's neat. Wow. Oh, oh. And then that's when I started thinking, there are a lot of miracles in this story.
Well, I love that you wrote them all down and listed them for us because I, you know, like you said, so many of these can be everyday occurrences and everyday small events. That what if we sat down and wrote down three of those a day, right? Like, what would our lives look like if we were able to recognize daily even the smallest things that are not a coincidence at all?
Right. And the beautiful redemption of her feeling called to, I want to help others.
Yes.
I want to help others. And so, again, using whatever past you have and God redeeming that, she referred to the book of Joel and that He did restore the years that the locust ate. And He can do that for all of us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I really appreciated what Lauren said when someone asked her what she would tell her scared teenage self. Mm-hmm. And she said, I would tell her, if you only knew what God was going to do. Mm-hmm. And I held on to that, and I thought, I actually think we talked about this a few episodes ago. If we only knew the end of the story, how easy it would be to let go. And what a sweet thing to tell your teenage self who was just so afraid and full of shame to say, if you only knew how God was going to use this.
I know, Robin, that's such it's a great challenge for all of us to take with us is maybe today, find one miracle that happened in your life, whether that's running into somebody at the grocery store, or getting an encouraging text, or maybe it's you giving that encouraging text to someone else. Be someone's miracle or look for the miracle of God. We just thank you guys so much for listening to us. This is a great story to pass along, I believe, to a lot of our younger listeners. I think that they would enjoy hearing this. Again, I want to say one more thank you to Lauren and her family for sharing their story with us. And we are so excited about next week's story with Amanda Myers. It is a movie like you have never heard before. So stay tuned and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.